When it comes to the Peshmerga, the Kurds, Syria, Iraq, and ISIS, what goes around comes around. We're going to talk about that on today's Hot Zone.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. As you can see, I'm in another hotel room. Big surprise, I know. I never stay in hotels, but I am today. I'm in Virginia Beach, and I am doing the rounds of the various CBN shows to talk about Syria, to talk about my new book. It's been a busy day. But I just realized that 3 years ago today, I was actually talking and reporting on pretty much the same thing. I was over in Iraq with Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, and we were there with NRA News, NRA TV, and talking about the Peshmerga fighting ISIS. And this time they were about to retake Mosul from those terrorists. And so we went and we made a whole bunch of packages about what we saw there. And I want to just share a few of those with you today.
The fight to wrest Mosul from ISIS is now entering its second month. There are still hundreds of thousands of civilians in harm's way. As Iraqi forces push into the city, refugees are streaming out by the thousands, and ISIS fighters are taking advantage of the exodus, hiding among the civilians to escape and sometimes attack those who are trying to help. At this desert checkpoint just outside the city limits, Kurdish Peshmerga are receiving hundreds of refugees each day, giving them food, water, and medical care before moving them to refugee camps. Checkpoints like this have been attacked several times by vehicle-borne IEDs, and on this day, 13 ISIS fighters, some wired to blow themselves up among the civilians or their rescuers. Peshmerga troops and police reacted to stop the attack, and a gunfight ensued. In the midst of the fight, Peshmerga soldier is wounded by gunfire, and an ISIS jihadi detonates his suicide vest. In less than 10 minutes, the ISIS infiltrators were killed, and the Peshmerga soldiers and police resumed searching the endless stream of refugees as they approached the checkpoint. The brutal fight to liberate Mosul isn't going to end anytime soon, and engagements like this will likely be repeated without warning for many weeks to come. From the front line in Mosul, I'm Oliver North for NRA News.
This is 15-year-old Zainab, and she's obviously in great pain here. She had her arm traumatically amputated in an airstrike about 2 weeks ago. They've been moving toward the front lines with the Peshmerga here. Her mother was killed, her uncle was killed, her father was wounded, and her brother was wounded as well. And this is some of the horrors that are really on full display here that are only going to get worse as the fight for Mosul continues.
While we were waiting to go through this checkpoint, a convoy showed up, this long convoy of what appear to be mostly commercial vehicles. In fact, this is one of the provisional military units, a Shiite militia headed by Iranians from the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and the Quds Force. There are among the fighters on these vehicles Shiite militiamen from Iraq, Hezbollah from Lebanon, and of course, Revolutionary Guard Corps officers and non-commissioned officers. This is a dramatic change for what's been happening inside Mosul, because this is now totally different than anybody expected.
Iraqi forces continue to push into the city of Mosul, struggling to kick out ISIS once and for all. In recently liberated eastern suburbs, residents are slowly returning, only to find their homes and businesses in ruins. Iraq's second largest city, Mosul was once a multi-ethnic metropolis, with large communities of Christians, Muslims, and Yazidis living together. There were 45 Christian churches in the city, but ISIS did its best to wipe them off the map. This Assyrian Christian church is in the eastern suburb of Bartala. That's a suburb of Mosul. And you can see what happened when ISIS came in. It was burned and razed. And the people of this area are really looking forward to getting back into their homes, but this, unfortunately, is what they'll find when they get here. And you can imagine by what you see here how many years it will take to get things back to normal.
Less than 10 miles away is another Christian village called Bashika.
It was liberated by the Kurdish army weeks ago, but the countless number of IEDs and booby traps left behind as ISIS withdrew will make it extremely difficult for residents to return anytime soon. Masrur Barzani, chancellor of the Kurdistan Region Security Council, says the Kurds need help to make their communities safe again.
The majority of the engineering teams working with the Peshmergas are going out there without any protection. And many of them have lost their lives because a single mistake is enough to kill you in this case. So definitely people need help. We need help. We need Americans. We need the rest of the coalition to come to our assistance to clean these areas. And these are areas that eventually civilians have to go back to and call it home.
The chancellor holds that it's in the best interest of the United States and the world to help them win this fight.
This is a world war, but we are in the front line. But unfortunately, really, we are not being supported to the degree that we need to. We need Americans to remember that we are loyal friends and loyal allies. We share same principles and same values. And we are together against international terrorism as long as it takes. And in this case, to eradicate terrorism and to fight terrorism, there are many ways that we have to work together.
From Kurdistan, I'm Chuck Holton for NRA News.
Over the last 48 hours, we've been with Kurdish Peshmerga troops defending their homeland. Seen thousands of refugees fleeing 2 years of ISIS terror. Covered brave Iraqi Special Operations Forces in the bloody fight for Mosul. Accompanied the soldiers of the 101st Airborne as they advise and assist in the effort to destroy ISIS in Iraq. And we spoke with Masrur Barzani, Chancellor of the Kurdish Region Security Council, about what happens in the days ahead.
I have no doubt that ISIS is going to be militarily defeated. It's just a matter of time. But it will not be eradicated because the ideology will stay. So, and the burden of fighting terrorism will mostly fall on the shoulders of intelligence and security services. That will make our jobs even more difficult because then, instead of fighting enemy in one particular location, you have to fight them as ghosts running around all over.
What do you think our new president should do about ISIS?
So the more things change, the more things stay the same. The Kurds are still fighting ISIS, except now they're doing it in Syria, and ISIS is called the Free Syrian Army. And now the ISIS guys have air support, and the Kurds don't have the support of the United States in fighting the FSA. Now, I find it really strange that here's a clip of the U.S. military in Syria right now, and they're flying around where the SDF and the Kurds are fighting. But here's what they say they're there for.
What's important to us is providing them with security from the air. So wherever that is, the beauty of helicopters is that we can fly pretty far. So if the SDF is conducting a mission further north, we can fly north. If it's northwest or even south down the river, we can help them find ISIS targets anywhere in the American and coalition area of operation.
So this guy says they're there to help the fight against ISIS, but yet they don't recognize the fact that the FSA essentially is ISIS. They are kind of the United Nations of Islamic Jihad. And so it's going badly for the Kurds. The other thing that was the same 3 years ago as it is today is that Dave Eubank and the Free Burma Rangers were on the ground there and they were helping people in that region as well. They've been doing this for a long time. Check this out. When the Islamic State pushed into northern Iraq in 2014, most of the ethnic Yazidi residents of the area were forced to flee. In November 2015, Kurdish Peshmerga forces were able to recapture a portion of what they'd lost, including Sinjar, a city that was once home to 500,000 people. But the fight rages on. The Peshmerga may have driven their enemy out of Sinjar, but ISIS isn't giving up so easily. On the new front line, Peshmerga soldiers are living under daily low-grade attacks by snipers and indirect fire.
So it's about 8:30 in the morning. It's a beautiful morning. The sky is incredible. The birds are chirping. And ISIS has been shooting at us all morning. Just sporadic fire. mortar rounds coming in from that direction and landing over here in the center of the city. Also, we've had just sporadic. So there's a couple of mortar rounds right there. Now that means we've got about 15 seconds before we find out where they're going to land. And they've been landing over here in the center of the city. But it's a kind of scary feeling because you don't have any control over where they're going to land. And if they land right here, it's game over. Oh, you hear it? There it goes. Landed over this way. So these Kurdish soldiers that are holding the front line here in Sinjar, they have to put up with this constantly. It's not really intense fighting. It's just very low-grade fighting most of the time. Once in a while, there'll be an attack, but it's mostly sniper fire and this indirect fire that they have to worry about.
We've come here to see evidence of an attack ISIS made recently employing chemical weapons, a form of warfare that most nations have banned for more than 100 years. We traveled to a field just outside the village where the front line is today, and we're careful to stay upwind from the site of the attack. On the 11th of February, ISIS fired over 30 mortar shells from off here to my left into this village, now being held by Kurdish forces. And the shells didn't explode like normal mortar shells would. Instead, they released a white gas. And I'm here over a week after the attack, and even right now, there's a very pungent odor of rotten vegetables. That's indicative of a mustard agent. And you can see some residue here from the explosion that has this black tar substance on it. And I think this is pretty serious. The Kurds thought so. They came out here and covered up the craters made by the mortars because this stuff is still highly toxic, very dangerous.
When they went off, we could see the white smoke in the distance.
CBN first learned of the attack from my friend Dave Eubanks, who heads a humanitarian group that was here giving medical training at the time of the attack.
When the attack happened, we were on the front line training Peshmerga right down there. We heard about it. We came here, and what we saw were shell craters with black tar all around them and stinking and reeking. So we tried to stay upwind of them, and these 120-millimeter mortar rounds. And then we began to talk to some of the patients who had a hard time breathing. They were constricted in their throats. Their noses were burning. 30 people sick right away. Now over 175 people sickened.
We went to meet the doctor who treated the victims in the tiny Peshmerga aid station.
Fever, vomiting, headaches, diarrhea.
Okay. And bad breathing?
Breathing, yes. It's this gas, mm-hmm. upper respiratory system.
Upper respiratory, yes.
So the doctor has, they've taken samples of the residue from these mortar rounds that came in, and they're waiting for somebody to come and test them. No one has come, and they're pretty baffled by that. They're wondering why nobody really cares to come and test this and find out what kind of nerve agent it was. Not long after we left the clinic, one of the soldiers injured in the attack showed up asking for help from Eubanks' medical team. But before they could begin treating him,
Lord asks you to heal this man and help him recover.
We rushed him to the clinic where the doctor did his best to treat him. But his condition didn't improve, so he was sent by ambulance to the nearest hospital, more than 2 hours away.
Important test examination. Anybody come here? No, mm-hmm. anybody come here to take test examination. What is this gas?
We just don't know. Is it chlorine or is it mustard or is it something else? And that's why we need people to come and test this. The doctor was appealing. Please come, someone come and test so we know, one, what it is so we can treat our people, two, so we know how to guard against it if we get hit again.
As the ambulance was leaving, ISIS started shelling again.
We got to go for the bunker. There's another incoming round. Let me stay right here. Is that it?
That's it. Line over here.
You going to get your binos? The fight dragged on, and someone called an airstrike, while the Kurds fought back with their own weapons. As for the chemical used by ISIS, no one is sure what it is or where it came from. Now the biggest concern is that ISIS could find a way to transfer these weapons into Europe or even the United States. But for now, the Kurds are doing their best to keep them occupied here. Incoming!
Get down.
From northern Iraq, I'm Chuck Holt for CBN News. So keep Dave Eubank and his family and his guys in their in your prayers, please. That's all I've got for today. Thanks for being a part of The Hot Zone. I hope you're enjoying it.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.